more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
Hey, yeah, I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus
to help me along the way.
Good Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
Twyla, I look at you and I'm telling you, I'm just amazed at what God has done in your life with the healing in your body. You do not look like you went through anything.
Hallelujah. You know, that's what I wanted to share today, is just a part of that testimony, because I know that I have not shared that with many people, and it just happened very recently. But the day after Easter, I went in on April the 6th, I went in to the hospital and had surgery for cancer, and God has healed me. But I want to back up to where this started. And I did not have any illness in my body. I didn't have any symptoms in my body. I just went for a normal physical and really didn't even want to go. I had called for a prescription refill, and my doctor, probably like most other doctors, after they refill it a few times, they say, hey, you ain't been in here in a while. You need to come on in for your annual physical. So I was like, okay, I'll come in. And I went in, and before you go in, they make you do all this blood work so that they can get the results. And all of it was actually good. There was only one thing that wasn't, and I was very fatigued. My iron level was quite low. She had been giving me iron pills for a long time.
Sure,
they had not been working. They had been getting, it's being lower. Plus, I can't say I take them every day. They're a little too big for me to swallow every day. She said, let's send you to a specialist and see if they can do something else for you, because the iron pills are not seeming to work. And so I went to another doctor. She was going to do a procedure on me to help me. And she said, before I do this, I just want to run a couple of tests. I want to take a biopsy, is what she said. I want to take a biopsy. It's something I like to do to make sure I'm not taking care of one symptom only to find out that we're masking other things and there's something else there. So she said, it's just really procedural. It's normally, you know, just, it's just what we go through. It's normally no big deal. We'll just schedule the procedure. I just want to do this biopsy. And then they called me on the phone, and I was in a hurry. I was in the car listening to my GPS telling me how to get to where I was going. And they called me and they said, you know, the doctor needs you to come in for the test results. And I was like, I was in a hurry, because when they called, it stopped my GPS from telling me which exit to take. So I was like, okay, what, when, where? I didn't really think to ask them any questions. But when I hung up the phone, it dawned on me that I was going to a different office than the one I had seen her in, so it was like urgent. And it dawned on me that they don't call you in for test results. I mean, I've taken many tests. They wait till you get there or they send you a letter. And so afterwards, I was going to come in the very next morning, and by the time it dawned on me to think about what they had said, they are already closed. And so I thought about it all that evening. I wasn't afraid or fearful, but every scenario that you could think of went through my mind of what she was going to tell me she found, because she wasn't going to call me into her office on an emergency to tell me everything looks good. I knew that. And so she said that the results came back and there is cancer in the results. And she said, I hate to have to tell you this. And she said, I want to schedule you an appointment at the James Cancer Center, and I want them to take it from here. And that's all I really can tell you, because they're the specialists and they'll have to do this with you. And she said, this is a cancer that is surgically staged, meaning they won't know how far it is, how far along it is, how long it's been there, or anything until they do surgery. So it's surgically staged. And I'm sitting there, and she said, if you go home and this all, you know, hits you like a ton of bricks, she said, give me a call and I will talk to you.
But
because I wasn't saying anything. So she was probably wondering, is she hearing me? And she said, if you go home and you need to talk, call me and I will come out of wherever I am and I will talk to you. And of course, when I went home, I didn't need to talk to the doctor, not that doctor anyway. I needed to talk to the great physician, the doctor of doctors, and I did. I went and prayed and asked God, what does this all mean?
You know what? The thing is that it was a routine exam.
A routine exam.
But she went a little further and found something there that really, it could have been there if she hadn't have done, you know, performed
the biopsy.
Right. Could you imagine? What I'm thinking about is that it was God.
Absolutely.
That caused her to want to go further, because it's just like this. God is not going to allow the enemy to sneak up on you.
And that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to sneak up unaware.
He was trying to sneak up on you unaware.
And my doctor, my general physician, she, you know, I'm not eager to run to the doctor. I don't run frequently, but I go for my annual checkups and all these other annual things you have to do. And they did tell me when I finally got to the cancer doctor and went through it, I said, how many people do you see like me? Because I have no symptoms. I am not sick. And he said, first of all, people like you only get this cancer 7% of the time. He said, so I rarely see people like you. Mm. And he said, and if that specialist hadn't done a biopsy, I would never have seen you, because you wouldn't know you have this cancer, because it doesn't manifest itself.
Until,
it's like the enemy trying to be there unaware, invading on territory that does not belong to
rooting,
him.
But rooting himself
and taking
in
a
it.
Root. Yeah, yes. But God will expose the
yes.
hand of your enemy.
Because when you think about it, he was trying to root himself in that unawares. And then by the time they do find it out, you don't have all these symptoms, and you are in stage four, where now you have to go through a lot of treatments in order to do this. But God exposed the enemy just like that.
And you know, I really was a little baffled when I walked into the cancer place, you know, for my first consultation and my initial consultation. It really was surreal, and even now to think about it, it still is a little hard to grasp. But that when I was walking into this great big new facility, this James Cancer facility, and I'm thinking, why am I going into the cancer place? I mean, it'd be different
still
if I was going to pick up somebody or drop somebody off or, you know, something like that. But for me, and I'm going in here, and I still wasn't sick. I didn't have any symptoms, and it just seemed weird to me. It seemed surreal. Mm. But God, he will expose the hand of the enemy that tries to creep in unaware and do you harm. And he will cancel. That's where God canceled the assignment of the devil.
Yes.
Because the devil came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus came and gave me life. And I thank him that he uprooted and pulled out those things. And what I thought was really peculiar is that I didn't tell very many people, first of all, because I didn't have any fear or anxiety. Be honest with you, it was hard for me to even grasp myself, but I didn't have any fear or anxiety. And I didn't want other people projecting their fears or anxiety to me. And when people tell you they have cancer, immediately people think death sentence right mm-hmm. there. And I didn't need people projecting that to me, and you can project those spirits of mm-hmm. fear and anxiety and gloom and doom, and I didn't want that. So the few people that I told, it was interesting, because the first few people, and you were one of them, but the first few people that I told, and I had a lot of information because I'm an analytical person, so I went and read up everything I could possibly read. I had more information than I needed to have on it. And so when I would share it with people, I gave them all the detail that the doctors had given to me and all the information that I had read. And the first two people, you being one of them, and then the third person said, so even after I explained it all to them that, you know, they found cancer and they're going to have to do this surgery and so forth, and they would say, so do they think you have cancer? I mean, they would say this after I had said all of this, even yourself. And so by the time the third person had said this to me, and it was Eartha, dear friend in California, I said, Eartha, am I not speaking clearly? Because you are like the third person to ask me this, and I'm now starting to think that maybe I'm not explaining it clearly. And she said, no one has ever explained to me their issues more clearly than you have. She said, it's not that you're not explaining it clearly, it's that it is so unbelievable that I can't even grasp it. And that's probably the thing that people are saying, really? This can't be. This is one of those things that caught me unaware. But the good news is, LJ Renee, and we did a radio program on it a few months ago, is that this did not catch God mm-hmm. by surprise. Mm-hmm. It might have shocked me. It might have came out of left field for me. This did not catch God by surprise.
And you know what the thing about it is that no, it didn't catch God by surprise. That's the reason why he says, I know every thought and intent of your heart. He says, I see everything. There is nothing hidden in my sight. And but with the enemy, even when I'm saying that, because he knows even the intent of the enemy, he knew that the enemy was trying to cause havoc and to destroy the plan of God that he has for your life, because he knows that he has given you a mandate, and others too, to take territory away from the enemy. Like you said, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And then there's other people who are going through the same thing or have gone through the same thing, and they're experiencing the things that you, well, you said you were not scared, but there are some who are after getting that report. And so what would be your advice to them?
That is a very good point, because the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but there are things that come in our life that where fear will grip our heart. And I remember someone had said to me when I was sharing with them, and they said, you have to take this serious, because I was more laid back and a little nonchalant, I guess they thought. It just really was that I was at peace with God. I had the peace of God. And they said, you have to take this you have to take this serious. And I said, I am taking this serious. You just don't know. For me to protect my faith in God is that I cannot listen to the naysayers, and I cannot listen to the doubters. And when you allow certain people to speak into your life, and that's why I said I was very guarded with who I shared that information with, because I didn't need people saying, oh Lord, my grandmama died of that same thing. I didn't need people going through that. I wasn't even sure I was going to tell my brothers and sisters. And when I told them, I immediately, several of them, I said, now listen, this is not a sentence of death, because I didn't need them projecting. Not all of them are believers. And I didn't need them projecting their fear upon me, because, you know, we all have had people in our lives that have died of cancer, that are suffering through cancer. And when you hear it, it almost sounds like a death, you know, like a death sentence. Mm-hmm. And so we all have those things that come up. So when you get diagnosis and fear begins to grip your heart, here's what I have to say to you. Here's what works for me. It's the name of our program. What does the Lord say? Yeah. We need to go back to the Word of God. And what does the Lord say? And there is a song list that I had put together for myself, and I played it when I was in the hospital. And I would be more than happy to give you the names of those songs, because those songs minister to me, because they're powerful.
Those songs and keep your mind on the power
of God. And it will put faith in you, because they sing
your faith.
These are anointed psalmists that are singing the power of God. If you email us or tweet us or whatever, I'll give you the song list. But one of them talks about saying a prayer. And we've played this on our program, I believe. But it talks about Jesus, as you have prayed for Peter, say a prayer for me, because my faith is being tempted and tried. You know, when Jesus said of Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but I've already prayed that your faith fail not. Mm-hmm. And this song just pleads out to Jesus, because the Bible tells us he's seated at the right hand of God, interceding for the saints. And so this song pleads to him and says, say a prayer for me, because this that I'm going through, the enemy is angry at the power of God that's working and the anointing of God that's flowing through me. So Jesus, would you say, I'm willing to go through it, but I need you, Jesus, to say a prayer for me. And then the other one says, God is a healer, and God is the healing running through my veins. Sickness and disease, you can't have your way, because God is the healing that's running through my veins. And you just begin to speak over your life the word of God, and you allow those things that increase your faith in God, the hearing of his word, you allow those things to feed your spirit until you not only say the word, but you believe and embrace the word. And then you will begin to say, like we shared last week out of Habakkuk, Lord, I heard what you did for them, now do it for me. I seen how you worked in them, now work it in me. I heard that you're a healer, be a healer for me.
You are my health, my power, my strength. You are the healing running through my veins, and you help me to what I must do, and I owe it all to you. My wounds, my pain, my sorrow, my grief. You are the balm that covers me. River of life, green pastures I see, and through the storm I still have peace. So sickness, disease, you can't have your way, 'cause God is a healing running through my veins, and no bad report can steal my joy away, 'cause God, you're the healing running through my veins. Yes, yes. You sent your word and I believe it's two-edged sword to surgery. First in my spirit, my soul and body, it's medicine internally. So sickness, disease, you can't have your way, 'cause God is a healing.
Amen. The scripture came to me in Proverbs. It says, the spirit of a man will sustain them even in sickness. And I'm telling you, the reason why your spirit can sustain you is because it's been fed by the word of God. So when you're hearing the songs that you put together, the prayer list, when you're reading the word of God that says that by my stripes you are healed, and other scriptures that are relative to healing, that is increasing your spirit. It's like a crutch holding up
Absolutely. An
individual that has been injured, that can't hold up themselves, or it's like someone standing right beside you, like the Holy Ghost that says that he said that he's an aid, that he will aid you, that your spirit is increased to believe him. Even through this sickness, it will sustain you. It will
Amen.
Encourage you. So that's what I thought about even as you're speaking about what kept you
in the word of God. The mindset of God is quick and powerful. The word of God is alive.
It's operative.
And it ought to be your crutch.
It ought to
be your go-to.
It's alive.
And you know, the fact that I have shared of the word of God so many times, then the spirit of God brings back to remembrance the word. And not only the spirit of God, the enemy will bring back. You said God was a healer. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You said God could do this. Now, where are you standing on it now? But this is what I love about Daniel. And I had shared this on many, many occasions. When the decree of the king in Daniel had been established that they should not bow down or worship any other god than the king himself, the Bible says when it was known unto Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing, the decree was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, Daniel knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Mm. And that was my prayer, because I had quoted this scripture many, many times. And I said, dear God, the fervent, effectual prayers I have prayed, I don't want them to change. If no one knows what I'm going through, the way I pray and praise you shouldn't let them know. Because the doctor said we found cancer, that didn't change that God is who he said he is. Because they said we have to do surgery, that didn't change that God is who he said he is. So the same God I prayed to the day before they gave me the diagnosis is the same God I prayed to the day after. And my prayer should be even the more fervent. I like the way David said it when he danced before the presence of the Lord, and his wife got a little angry with him because he danced out of his clothes. He said, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'll be even more vile than this. And that's what I began to pray. This is not going to work. You haven't seen anything yet. Even if it's with my last breath, I will bless the name of my God, because we read about Hebrews chapter 11,
yes,
about the hall of faith. There are many people that did great exploits in God, but the part we don't like to talk about, the part that is
those
in the word of God,
see.
It said that many of them didn't see the promise of God in the land of the living, but they died in
believing.
Faith, believing that God is who he said he
you
was.
Know.
Something's going to take every one of us out of here. And God, if this be my day, I will die in faith, believing that you're a healer, you're a deliverer, you're a keeper, and you are who you said you are.
God.
So devil, this won't work. I do give thanks to God, because then I began to pray. I turned my eyes toward the living God like Daniel did, and I prayed as I had done aforetime. I used to pray in the morning. I kept praying in the morning. I used to sing praises in the afternoon. I kept singing praises in the afternoon. And then I added the little bit of David in there. I wanted to sing more than I had sung and pray harder than I had prayed, because the enemy was trying to attack me. And I wanted him to know that this that you are trying will not work.
See, that's the weapons of your warfare right there.
Hallelujah.
Coming against the enemy. That's the weapon that you use. It puts a resolve in your heart that no matter what happens, I am going to praise you.
No matter what.
It's the resolve that God gives you to know that he is yet with you. And I can remember even some other times in going through waiting on God to heal. You know, it's just like you said, they will give you the diagnosis, the prognosis, and they'll give you the treatment plan, and what they are saying to you is true. This is some of the things that you have to go through, but that's not the end.
Those
are some facts.
Yeah.
But the truth is, God is able. And so it goes back to what you were saying. What does the Lord say? And we need to get that in our spirit. But God, what do you say? And I remember even when a diagnosis was even given to me, and my thing was this: after you shake yourself, you said, listen, I ain't going out like
that. Not like
that.
This
was like, that was like me planting my foot on in the dirt and standing. I will not be moved. I'm not going out like this. So there are some others that are going through some situations in their lives, and they've heard the word cancer, and they are shaken by it. Their families are shaken. Matter of fact, it's like, you know, when you hear that word, you automatically assume that person is on their deathbed. But we have to remember that God is able to
heal.
And I've seen him do it one time before. I've seen him do it two times before. I've seen him do it three and more.
And God is able to do it.
His
power belongs to God. You better know that power. First of all, surround yourselves with those that believe in the power of God, that know what the Lord can do, that know that God is a healer, that know that God is a deliverer, that know that power belongs to the Lord. He healed me completely and wholly of this. And I remember even speaking to the doctor, and they were thinking right before the surgery, that they were going to have to remove some lymph nodes. And I said, well, you know, I'm talking to him. I said, when do you normally do this? And he said, he told me the statistics of when he normally does that. He said, if there's a 10% chance that there is a cancer in the lymph nodes, we take them out. I said, doctor, that's too low, because I know what I need these lymph nodes for. And so I said, that's too low for me. And he said, well, what would be a good... No, he said, if you don't want me to remove them, if you say that, I won't. I said, doctor, I don't want you to remove my lymph nodes. And I don't think he was expecting that. So he tried to inform me a little bit more, enlighten me a little further. And he said, but if I don't remove them, and then there's cancer in there. And so he went on to explain. He said, what would be a percentage that would be acceptable to you? I said, 40%. If there's a 40% chance, then you should remove them. But 10% is just too low. Mm. And so we settled on 30. He said, I'm not trying to bargain you, but we settled on 30% chance. And when I came out of the surgery, the first thing I wanted to know is, did they remove my lymph nodes? And the next day the doctor came in. I was a little concerned there, because I said, what if there was, you know, if there was a 20% chance and he didn't remove them, but then he'll say, well, I would have removed them if it had been left to my discretion, but because you set the bar at 30%, I didn't take them out and we made the wrong decision. So there was that little concern in my heart about that. So the next day he came in and he said, well, you know, by now I didn't have to remove the lymph nodes. I said, yes, thank you. And he said, and I just want you to know, he said, that there wasn't even a 3% chance that there was cancer in your lymph nodes. So even by his standards, he would not have done that. So I didn't have to fear or wonder and allow the enemy to torment me to think that you made the wrong decision. He said, there wasn't even a 3% chance that there was cancer in your lymph nodes. He said, I don't think you're going to see this again. And what I want to say to you through is that this doesn't mean that everything is over for me, because this is just one hurdle for your life. You may never battle against this enemy again. It didn't God say that to the children of Israel? The enemy that you see today, you will never see them again, because
right.
I will utterly destroy them. So I may never deal with this again,
but
be very sure.
Yeah.
Be very sure. There's another battle lurking on the other side of this hill, on the other side of this mountain, on the other side of this day. There is something else coming into your life. You will be tried. Your faith will be tested. But God is the healing that's running through my veins.
You know, that's where the prayer of declaration and decreeing some things come into play, is that you decreed that no, at 10%, you will not take my lymph nodes. It would be really good to have a physician that really knows God or has the fear of God or understand where your faith stands, instead of someone that is contrary, say, well, no, but this is the way it is. So you declared some things over your life, and you challenged the voice of the doctor as well. Call for the elders of your church. No, not your auntie, not your mother. You call for the elders of the church to come and to lay hands on you, to anoint you with oil. And if there are in and pray the prayer of faith, believing, not say, Lord, if it be thy will. No, it is God's will that you are healed. Pray like God. I'm
asking you
got to
start praying. That's what does the Lord say?
What does the Lord say? If there's any sin, if this was caused by any sin or sin is in you, that's the opportunity to confess it before the Lord, and that you would be healed.
Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I just wanted to thank him. He took the stripes for me. And I said, Jesus, you have been wounded for me. You have been afflicted for me. Now may I take upon me the healing that you bought and paid for by the stripes that you endured. So I thank God today, and may God bring healing to every single one of your souls.
Amen.
Dear God, we do thank you and we praise you and we glorify you. I do thank you for healing my body. I thank you not only for healing me, but for making me whole. And today I speak into the lives of those listening today. Would you let that same healing power of God flow to them? Let the faith of God from this recording get into their spirit and let them rise up to say,
God,
I believe God. Today, God, would you give them that bulldog faith that refuses to let you go, that knows that there is healing even in the crumbs that fall from the table. And those that know you in the free pardon of their sin, would you cause them to confess over their own lives that they are the healed of God, that they are above only and not beneath, that they are the head and not the tail, that they are the lender and not the borrower, that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let them decree and declare over their own lives that they, God, hallelujah, shall be more
than my request. The prayer I pray today is different than the rest. The enemy is threatened by the gift you placed in me. Hear my earnest prayer, cover me. Jesus, say a prayer for me. You know what I need. Go before the Father and intercede. Me.
We thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.